Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Title of my message tonight, I'm calling it Neon Church. Neon Church. So let me begin by reading this. In Ezekiel 34, verse 30, and I didn't give this specific verse to the team, so I'll just read it out to you guys. It says, then they will know. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God, and I am with them, and that they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the Lord. So throughout the Bible, there's actually specifically this kind of phraseology, over 50 plus, well over 50 verses that have that phrase, then they will know, or then you will know, right? And there's actually way more verses than that that have that basic concept where basically God is doing something. He's putting something on display. He is doing a work. He's speaking something. He's acting in such a way. And it's all so that you will know, right? It's a theme of the Bible that God is intentionally trying to do things in and through our lives so that we will know that we're His. So that we will know that we're loved by God. So that we will know that He cares about us, that He wants us close. And there's so many of these phrases and this concept all throughout the Word of God. God is constantly attempting to shift heaven and earth to get our attention on earth here to make sure that you and I understand that we're not on our own. We're not just some random accident, you know what I mean, of a Big Bang theory or collision of atoms or cells or whatever. We are intentionally designed by God. The Bible even says that all of creation is a broadcast system to let you and me know that there is a God. That there's a God who loves us. There's a God who's intentionally created us and designed us. God is actively right now in our lives doing things, shifting things, working things. Why is He doing it? So that you will know. So that you'll know. So that you know that He's good. So that you know that He loves you. So that you know that He's close and He's not distant and He's not disconnected. And you know what? Even sometimes the things that aren't so great in our lives, sometimes the difficulties that we face bring us to that place. That place where we encounter God again. That place where maybe pride breaks off again. And things that may not always be comfortable, sometimes God uses those things ultimately to bring us to that place so that we know that He's a God of grace, so that we know that He's a God of mercy, so that we know. And all throughout history, God has done different things so that we will know. Even the rainbow. Remember Noah, you know, rescued humanity from the flood that was covering the whole earth. And then the ark lands, there's dry ground, and God puts a rainbow in the sky. And why does He do that? So that we know that He will never do that again. The rainbow stands as an eternal neon type of sign that reminds us every time we see a rainbow that God is saying to you and me, I love you and I will never leave you and I'm covering you and I'm protecting you and I'm not going to destroy the earth because of humanity and because of the sin that we all live in. I'm thankful for the rainbow, okay? Of course, the world we live in has hijacked that symbol. But the rainbow is designed to be a sign. The rainbow is designed to be a reminder so that we know that He loves us and that He hasn't left us. Amen? Everything we read throughout the Bible, God has strategically made sure that the scriptures would be recorded, that the stories of great acts of faith and the parting of the Red Sea and David taking out the giant and all these unbelievable miracles of women who were barren being able to have children and conquering enemies and the hand of God doing miraculous things all throughout the world. Why? So that we'll know. So that we'll be reminded, so that we don't forget, God's good. He's for us. He's with us. Amen? So that we will know, and it ultimately all leads to what? The cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is the ultimate neon sign for all eternity that is absolutely calling out our names and reminding us of this one thing, that Jesus so loved us. Amen? And then the cross stands as that symbol. He did that. Jesus went to the cross. Why? So that we know. So we know we're loved. So we know that God didn't want us distant anymore. Why did Jesus go to the cross? So we know that we don't have to stay away from him. We don't have to stay distant. He went to the cross and forever proclaimed the most iconic verse of the Bible because it is so essential, and that's John 3:16. Right? Most of us would know it, or at least heard Tim Tebow talk about it. But here's what. Here's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life. God so loved us, right? Jesus came and he died on the cross and he took all of our sin and he took all of our shame and he took all of that pain and he did it for you, he did it for me so that we'd know. So we never have to question again whether or not we're loved by God, whether or not he wants us close. And even in that moment when he died on the cross, the Bible says that there was a veil, there was a massive curtain in the temple because back in the day, anybody couldn't just come to the presence of God. Right? There was a barrier. There was this massive wall between people and the presence of God. And only the priest at certain times could enter into that very presence of God. But as soon as Jesus died on the cross and gave up his life for you and for me, in the temple, the entire curtain ripped in half from top to bottom. Why did he do that? So that you and I would know that he doesn't want us to be distant anymore. He doesn't want us to stay away anymore. He wants us to come close. So we know. I love our God. This is how he designed it. But you know what? He doesn't just stop at the cross. Then he begins to establish his church. Jesus, after dying on the cross and raising from the dead in power and strength, then he begins to release the Holy Spirit. He says, hey, go and wait. Right? And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus begins to put his church together. What is the church? It's us, right? The church is those who follow Jesus. The church is the body of believers. The church is referenced as a body. It's referenced as a family. It's referenced as a home, as a house. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that actually that all of us are being built up together to house the very presence of God. You know, each and every one of us, when we choose to follow Christ, the power and the presence of God lives in us, but also collectively, together, as a body of Christ, we actually create a place for people to encounter the presence of God. We carry the presence of God with us. The power of God doesn't live in buildings anymore. It lives in his people. It lives in his church. And so Jesus begins to establish the church. And as we've been talking about this Get in the Game series, I'm just so thankful for how God decided to begin to build and to form the body of Christ and to bring us together. And each and every one of us, as we get in the game, each and every one of us, as we play our part in the family of God, in the body of Christ, then together God is able to do on earth what he intended to do through the church, right? Each of us plays a valuable part. No one part is more important than the other. Every single one of us are needed. Every single one of us are part of what God is doing. And God is wanting to establish and build his church. Why? So that the world will know that he loves them. The church is the neon church. The church is forever the sign that God has established on the earth to remind planet earth that when you look at my people, when you see my body, when you see the kingdom of God, this is supposed to be a sign pointing people to the love of God. That's what the church is. Pastor Leanne preached an unreal message this morning. If you didn't get to hear it, get that podcast about the love of God, about walking in love, about the power of love. She really broke it down in a really incredible way. And us as the church, we are supposed to live this life out. We're supposed to walk this life out in love. But Acts 1:8, which I read, we're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. Why? To be His witnesses. What's a witness? Someone tells a story, relays what they heard, relays what they saw, what they've seen, right? You and me are called upon by God to say, listen, if you've encountered the love of God, now it's your turn, right? Now it's our turn to be that representation on earth, to tell that story, to let somebody else know, hey, my life is different. Jesus changed my life. That's what we just saw here. People getting water baptized. People making this decision to go public. So Jesus has changed their life, but they're saying, listen, I'm not going to keep that all to myself. I'm not going to just let my faith be me and Jesus and that's it. No. I'm getting real with this. I'm going public with my faith. I want everybody to know. Baptism is a great sign so that people know that you're a follower of Jesus, so that people know that Jesus saved your life and changed your life. And as the church, God has called us and God has commissioned us to be the signpost on earth, to be the focus on earth where people can look to the church and look to the people of God and go, man, there's something about that group. There's something about those people. Jesus even said, hey, listen, everyone's going to be able to know that you're my disciples. How? You love each other, right? So we are designed to live in such a way that people look at our life and go, man, something about that C3 group. Something about them over there. I don't know what it is. There seems something's different about you at work. Something's different about you at home. Something's different about you. There's something about who you are and how you live and how you operate that absolutely sends a signal, that sends a message so the world will know that we're loved. We are that sign. We are that. The Bible says, Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. Your town built on a hill that can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, come on, church, let your light shine before men, right, or before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We're designed to shine. We're designed to let the world know we are here on this earth, not just taking up space, but we are here as a representative of Christ so that people will know that Jesus loves them, so that people will know. Amen? Amen. Let me read Ephesians chapter 1. I love how the message phrases this out, but I believe that the church, just like the cross stands eternally so that people will know that God wants us close, but the church stands as a monument, as a reminder, as a neon sign calling people back to God, calling people to the family of God. I love this. Ephesians 1, verse 20. This is in the Message translation. It says this, all this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power is exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He, being Jesus, is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. How many thankful for that? Come on. He's got the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, watch this, in which he, being God, speaks and acts, and by which he fills everything with his presence. What a great picture of who we are as the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the physical extension of Jesus Christ on this earth. And what has God called us to do? Speak, act, and fill. Right? God through us wants to speak. God through us wants to act. God through us wants to fill the entire earth with the presence of God. When you and I get in the game, when you and I are a part of our teams, and when we're serving, when we're giving inside this building and outside of this building, when you and I get in the game to be a part of what God is wanting to do, He's asking you and me, hey, will you allow me to speak through you? Will you allow me to act through you? And will you carry my presence everywhere that you go? Carry my presence into your workplace. Carry my presence everywhere that you go. You know, we live in a world that is desperate to hear a word of encouragement. I love Pastor Leanne's message this morning, talking about kindness, talking about a word of kindness. You know what? There's a message that God is trying to get to the earth, and how does He do it? Through you, through me, right? He wants to speak. He speaks through the body of Christ. He speaks through us, right? So at your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family, on your social media, in every platform of life, God is saying, will you allow me to speak through you, right? And what's the message He wants to bring? Message of hope, message of redemption, message of grace, a message of forgiveness. So many people live in constant condemnation, feeling like, man, God cannot be happy with me because of all the things I have done. That is the narrative of sin. That's the narrative of the enemy, to try to get you to believe that God doesn't want you near Him because you've been too bad, because you've made too many wrong mistakes. But I'm telling you what, God is trying to get the word out there in every single possible way possible that you're loved by God. He invites you close, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter all the mistakes you've made. The message is clear: you're loved and you're invited close, right? Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we don't have to stay away anymore. We don't have to stay disconnected from a God who loves us. We get to come close, right? I'm so thankful for that. But God wants to use our lives to speak. He wants to use our life to speak through us, to lead through us, right? To actually get this message of hope out to the world. The other thing that He wants to do is He wants to act through us. It says that through the church, Jesus speaks and He acts, right? He takes action. God is not a distant, unconnected God. He is active on earth. He is moving. He is making a difference. He is reaching. He is actively involved on planet earth. And how does He do that? Through His church. This is why it's so key when we talk about getting the game. This isn't just we're trying to get everyone to sign up because we all don't want to work as hard who are the leaders, right? We're actually trying to make sure that everybody, first of all, gets to enjoy the power of finding your purpose. Bishop John Day last week brought an unbelievable word. Come on, somebody. Hey! I honestly thought they were going to take me off the preaching roster after how good he was last week. I heard everyone singing like Samuel slain his thousands, but John has tens of thousands. I was like, who are these maidens? Stop singing those songs. That's Bible trivia. Sorry if you're not familiar with that story. John talking about the reward of serving, the purpose that comes alive in you when you find your fit, when you get involved in the kingdom of God. And I want every single person to find that thrill of being connected to the body of Christ, because we only really find our real function and our real purpose when we're connected. Disconnected, it might seem nice, but it's dysfunctional, right? Disconnected from the body, any body part is a dysfunctional situation until it's connected, right? So first we find a purpose, but the other thing is, man, if we're not functioning effectively as the body of Christ, then God is not going to be able to speak and act through us. God wants to speak through our life. God wants to reach San Diego because of what C3 is about. But it's going to take all of us playing our part, doing our thing, adding our strength to the team so that we can make a difference in this city. Amen? So God wants to act through our life. And I love this. The Bible says, let's not just act with words, right, and speech. Or let's not just love with words and speech, but with actions and in truth, the Bible says. Right? So as Christians and as a body of Christ, who we are and what we do has got to go well beyond our words into how we love people. How do we be the body of Christ? One of the greatest ways is just simply by applying Pastor Leanne's message this morning and loving the people in our world. This week, we got a big opportunity Monday through Saturday in our workplaces, in our sports teams, in our schools, our colleges, in our family life. Wherever we find ourselves this week, we got a great opportunity to love people and to extend the love of God and the heart of the Father towards every single person that we come in contact with. Amen? Amen. All right. Lastly, I'm going to have the band come up. We got a tailgate party, so hopefully if I end earlier, will that be a problem? Or are they not going to be set up? I wanted to try to land this plane. We're going to be good and get to the party. Now I've just, like, promised that I'm going to end early, and now you guys are excited. And so I hope I deliver on that. Okay, he wants to speak. He wants to act. He wants to fill. I love that. That's what the church does. We speak. We act. We fill the whole world with the presence of God. What a privilege. What an honor to be a part of that. And God has given each and every one of us the power of the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us so that when we go into our world, we get to fill every space with the life of God, every space with the presence of God. And God wants to fill us, right? And then we get to go out and fill other people's lives up. And it happens outside these walls, but also inside these walls. I want to celebrate every single one of you guys who give heart and soul, who give time and energy to build and operate weekly services and connect groups and all the events and everything that we do, because it creates a space for people to know that God loves them, right? Everything you do is so that they will know that God loves them, right? Man, those of you who are green out there at the parking lot as we're coming in, friendly, smiling. Man, something about that fills people's lives. People can come in to a service time feeling empty, feeling broken, feeling lost a little bit. But man, somebody out there at the parking lot, man, just killing it, crushing it, right? Smiling, people feeling full again, starting to get a little bit fuller, starting to get filled up. Then the person not high but wearing a high shirt at the door. Hopefully, we might need to add that background checks. Just kidding. All right. Just awkwardly pointing out somebody in the shirt, and they'd be like, oh my God, why'd you point at me? But man, when you're at that front door and you're making people feel welcome and invited, you're filling people up, right? And somebody at the cafe, come on. Bringing that Jesus juice, that coffee, that Holy Spirit flat white, come on. And with a smile, man, you're filling people's lives up, right? And somebody in here who's setting the stage and the atmosphere, the sound and the lighting and just everything about this moment, the atmosphere, people walk in and go, okay, I like this, I feel this. Man, you're creating a space for people to get filled up. And then the worship team comes out here, doing their thing, helping lead us into the presence of God, people getting filled up, people coming up and encouraging us and giving. Come on, Chanel, hello. Nice. So good. People leading, people preaching, bringing the word of God, right? Every single part of it, people getting filled up. Maybe even after a service, we create space for people to get prayed for and get a breakthrough, and teams that are down here helping people get that breakthrough. I'm telling you what, every step of the way, you're creating that space. And over in our kids area, come on, somebody. People hanging with our kids right now, if you got kids, and They're serving them, and they're creating that space for them to feel welcomed and loved and invited every step of the way. You guys are helping people get filled up with the presence of God. You're creating that space where the church isn't just some random gathering, but it's a place where God speaks. It's a place where God acts. It's a place where God fills people up, and people find hope again, and people find grace again. People find mercy again. Amen. Telling you what, that's what you guys do. Every single one of you are serving. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. What you do makes such a big difference. How you lead people, how you love people. You never know the transformation that happens with one of your smiles, with one of your acts of service, going out of your way to take care of people and create that space. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to do that in these walls. And now he asks all of us as his church, when we leave this room, that we begin to allow him to speak through us, act through us, and fill every space that God brings us with the presence of God. Bring every space the presence of God. God loves us, and God loves you, and God has asked us as the church, right? Why do we get in the game? So that this city will know. So that this city will know that there is a God who loves them. Why do I serve heart and soul? Why do I sacrifice? So that this city will know that God loves us. Amen? Amen. Why don't we pray together real quick, and then we're going to get into an awesome party, hanging out, having some fun. But I want to just, first of all, I want to just pray over every single one in this room and just say thank you for serving. I'll just pray for just a fresh touch of the presence of God over every single one in here, that the power of the Holy Spirit would fill us so that we could be a witness, so that we could tell the story, so that we can be a light to this city. God, use us as your church to make a difference in this city, I pray. God, let our Christianity not stay in these walls only, but God, let us take it to the streets. Let us take it to the workplace. Let us take it to our families in the name of Jesus. I thank you that C3 San Diego is going to be known as that church that speaks love, that acts with kindness, that fills every space with the touch of the presence of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Before I go, everybody's head bowed, eyes closed, looking at your own life right now. I want to ask this question. I hate to ever leave a service without asking this, because it's the most essential question every single one of us as humans have to answer. And that is, who am I following? Am I following Jesus? If I decided to put my faith in him, have I decided to receive this grace from God that he gave me by dying on the cross? Have you been trying to do it your own way? Have you been trying to just be a good person and thinking that somehow that that's how God is going to accept you or love you? But I'm telling you what, if you're here tonight and you've never yet made the decision to follow Jesus, to put your faith in him, to receive the love and the grace of God for your life because of what he did for you, tonight I want to give you an opportunity in just a moment. On the count of three, I'm going to have you lift up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you're at. You're not right with God, but tonight you want to get right with God. You know, even that term, a lot of times we're trying to get right, trying to be right, we're trying to do the right things. We don't get right with God by doing all, being a perfect person, getting it all figured out. We get right with God by putting our faith in Jesus, by allowing the grace of Jesus to cover our life, and then we get in right relationship with God again here tonight. So maybe you've never done that. This is newer to you, or maybe you've been coming for a bit, but you've never yet made the decision to follow Jesus. Tonight's your night. Don't leave here without doing it. I'm telling you what, he loves you. He wants to extend his grace towards you. Or maybe you've done that in the past and you just feel like, man, you're away from God and feel like you're off track a bit, but somehow, some way, God has brought you to this place again here tonight, and you go, man, I need to get my life right with God again. I need to reaffirm and make that decision. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm going to put my hope in him, put my faith in him. So the count of three, if that's either one of those situations, I want to pray with you this simple but powerful prayer of salvation and grace and new beginning. So on the count of three, if that's you, I want you to lift up your hand all around the room. Let me know who I'm praying with. One, two, three. Who am I praying with? Awesome. Great. Good. Anybody else? Say, that's you. Awesome. Anybody else? I want to pray with you. Don't miss a moment. Don't miss this moment. God loves you so much. Awesome. Awesome. So good. We're proud of you. So excited for this decision, this moment that you're making. Here's what we're going to do. In a moment of the church, we're all going to stand to our feet. We're going to cheer you on. If you raise your hand or you are about to, I want you to make your way out of your seat. Maybe you came with a friend. Bring them with you. Come out of your seat. Come down here to the front. I want to shake your hand. I want to pray with you. So, church, let's stand up. Let's cheer them on. You just raise your hand. Come on down. Let me pray with you right now. Awesome. Come on, church. So proud of you guys. It's a simple step, but it's a big step, right? Making a declaration. Awesome. Welcome. This is so awesome, right? Getting a chance to make that decision to follow Jesus. Now, I want you to know, understand right now, in a moment, we're all going to pray together. But as you do, He's forgiven you of all your past, He's wiping the slate clean. You're receiving freedom, hope, grace in Jesus, right? You don't have to worry about whether or not God loves you or He's mad at you. I'm telling you what, that's none of that. You got to erase that from your mind. He loves you. He's invited you close in this moment. I'm so proud of you guys for responding right here and saying yes to Jesus. Amen? Amen. You got a church family who's pretty pumped for you right now. Okay, church, let's all pray this prayer with those who are down here. And we're going to see an awesome new day here, okay? So everyone say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and raising from the dead to give me life. Today, I choose to turn from my old way and follow you with all that I have. From this moment forward, you're my leader, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.